incredible crush of the ordinary that seems to just weigh us down. Sometimes by the time we get to this part of the season, I think most of us feel like the lady in the picture. I went out and I found it. She's just finished running a marathon, and she's coming across the finish line, and she is like, thank goodness I have finished and this is over. Does anybody feel that way about Christmas at this point? It's like, just, you know, let it be done sometimes. Hopefully by now you are done. And if not, I'm going to give you one of the greatest hints about Christmas that you will ever discover, which is, I call it Christmas bags. Have you discovered Christmas bags instead of Christmas wrapping paper? Yeah? Yeah, just, you know, a dollar at the dollar store and a bunch of different kinds of tissue paper. And it's supposed to look all crumpled up like that. You know, so, you know, that's the greatest thing. I will never wrap another present in my life. When I say that Christmas is this crazy combination of eternal and ordinary, what I mean is this. We're celebrating this amazing eternal event, the birth of God's Son as the Savior of the world. But then in the middle of that, we have in our culture this overwhelming crush of the ordinary. So you have the eternal, where you're talking about God incarnate come into our world, and then you have this ordinary stuff, the presents and the parties and the wrapping and the shopping and the cooking and all the different things that have to take place. Earlier in the week, I was thinking about this and actually shared what I'm going to share with you tonight at our devotional with our staff on Monday. And I was thinking as I was reading through this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2, I wish Christmas could be easy. I wish it could be like, you know, simple, not stressful, like kind of like that first Christmas probably was like. And then I sat down to read this passage of Scripture that I'm going to read for you, and I literally started laughing at myself. Because as you read this, you see exactly the same story. The story of the ordinary and the eternal just colliding with one another. Listen as I read for you from Luke chapter 2. It's very familiar. You know the story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in the heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's no different for them than it is for us. There is this head-on collision between the ordinary and the eternal. Think with me for just a moment about the ordinary. that Joseph and Mary had to deal with. I put a couple of words up there on the screen for you. There's this issue of the illusion of control. I have a friend that says when we're talking about prayer that we're not giving up control to God. We're giving up the illusion of control. We never had it in the first place. And when you think about what's going on in Mary and Joseph's life, as you take a look at what's happening here, here's the story. Some guy in the government, some guy back in Rome, had a great idea that he was going to help everybody out with. He said, you know what? We're going to have everyone go back to their hometown and register. We're going to have a census. It's that old joke. Hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. So they pack their bags and someone somewhere has decided, you know, Caesar back in Rome has decided, hey, we've got a great idea. Everybody's going to go back to their hometown. And the poor folks down in Nazareth and everywhere else have to live with the decisions that someone else makes. Then there's this issue of timing. The trip came at the worst possible time. You ever take an extended road trip with a 9-month pregnant woman? Or have you, as a woman, taken an extended road trip at 8.5 or 9 months pregnant? Think about that for a moment. Think about it. It's the equivalent journey of from here to Hagerstown. I checked it out today. I looked it up. Hi, hon. Someone from Washington decided that we should walk from here to Hagerstown. Shouldn't take us more than 8 or 10 days. Now think about that. They had to make that trip. It wasn't a short trip. Now, I don't care if you're riding a camel or a donkey, it's still a long trip. And then there's this issue of where they're going to stay. Wives, has your husband ever done this to you? It's okay, honey. We're not going to stop at this one. We're going to take the next exit. Right? Right? Oh, I can remember when we were moving from Dallas, Texas. It's been 32-33 years ago now. We were moving from Dallas, Texas to Germantown, Maryland. Jennifer, who is now 33, was 6 weeks old. I was driving the big U-Haul, going to our first church, and we're driving down the road, and the baby had been perfect for hours and hours. And I kept telling her, one more exit, one more exit. And then we hit this big city. I don't even remember which one it was, somewhere along the way. And Darlene's like, look, the baby's hungry. We need to stop. And I'm like, sweetheart, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go through the city so that when we get to the other side in the morning, when we wake up, we won't have to deal with rush hour traffic. We'll be on the other side. And I got to the point where we passed the beltway when we were full on dead in the city. And that little thing started crying. You would not believe that a baby that big, 6 pounds and 7 or 8 ounces, would make so much noise. We had one of the worst fights of our life. Take her out of the car seat. That was not a suggestion that was entertained very well. And so for the next 20 or 30 minutes while we drove through the city, that child screamed her lungs out. And I got an earful from my wife as well. And then the baby shows up. Of course, he comes at the worst time. Strange place, no family. Some of you have done that. You've had children with no family around whatsoever. Just a husband or wife. Just a spouse. All by yourself. So that first Christmas, it was just as rough as some of ours. All kinds of things crushing in on them. All kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, all kinds of struggles. You see, everyone's life is the same, even then. They were dealing with all of the same issues that we're dealing with. The Bible's right on target when it says there is nothing new under the sun. But here's the good news. If you look for it, you will discover that the eternal is present right in the middle of the crush of the ordinary. Just like it was there with them, it's here with us as well. Take a look at some of the eternal things that are at play here. Prophecy. Hundreds of prophecies are coming to fulfillment. Prophecies, some of them 1,000 or more years old. The fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecy is being lived out, played out right before their eyes. The birth of Jesus and the circumstances surrounding it were just exactly what they needed to be. Listen, he needed to be born in Bethlehem to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. That's the place. It had to be there. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says it this way, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." See, it wasn't just some bureaucrat back in Rome that decided everyone had to go back to their hometown. God was at work to fulfill every single prophesied detail of the birth of the Savior. God's plan was being lived out. It was being fulfilled. The angels give us the story. The angels detail it for us. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So here's this crush of ordinary and eternal coming to grips with one another. I mean, it doesn't get more ordinary than the shepherds in their fields down there in Bethlehem. That's about as ordinary as you can get. And it doesn't get more eternal than angels showing up in the night sky, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It's the eternal and the ordinary coming head to head. Just like for you and I, there's this collision of the two. Nothing has changed. Christmas is still a marathon. And if we aren't careful, the eternal gets lost in the crush of the ordinary. But if you look closely, you'll find it there. It's just as surely present in our life as it was in theirs. Take a look at the message of the angels. There's three pieces here that I don't want you to miss. Because if you aren't careful, it's going to get away from you. You'll get lost in the busyness and the rush of what's going on, and you'll lose sight of it. Notice the first thing that they say here in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now look at the last part. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. The favor of God rests upon us because of the gift of his Son. Now at that moment, I am confident that Joseph and Mary would have looked at heaven and said, "You know what? If this is your favor, can we go back, hit the rewind button, and try it again?" Because God, it doesn't feel very gracious. It doesn't feel very favorable at all. And you see, when the ordinary and the eternal collide, it doesn't feel like God's favor. But in the middle of it all, if you can keep your eye on the ball, and if you can keep your heart set on God, you will find the eternal. God is so much for us. That's what it means to have his favor resting on us. He is for us. He is so much for us that he is willing to send his one and only Son into the world. God's favor, the word means camps upon us, abides upon us. And he offers us something that we can all use a whole lot of, if we're pretty honest with ourselves. Look at the message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. Peace, that internal sense of rightness, serenity, confidence that everything is okay, and if it's not okay now, it will be okay when God gets done. He knows what he's doing. Peace with God. That sense of God being present with us. That's the whole point of Jesus coming into the world. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the whole point of Christmas is that God is sending his Son in human form to come and to live and preach and teach and die on a cross. That the barrier of sin that exists between our heart and His would be dealt with, cleansed, purified, made clean. Tonight, we can lay our head on the pillow and know that we have peace with God. We don't have to worry about whether or not His favor is on us. We know that because He's told it to us through the word of the angels. If we've come to that place in our life where we've confessed to Him our need, where we've asked for the forgiveness of our sin through the finished work of Jesus, where we've put our faith and our trust and our confidence in Him, then Paul says to us, we have peace with God. He offers that to us just as surely as He did to the shepherds, and to all those who came to Him that first Christmas. We can come to the place where there is nothing between us when we put our heart and our trust and our life in Jesus' hands. So there's peace with God, and then there's also the peace of God. That's the ongoing result of knowing and trusting Him. Paul in the book of Philippians said it this way. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when you know Him and you learn to trust Him, you can find the eternal, even in the middle of the ordinary, even in the middle of the pressure and the pain that the ordinary brings to bear. Now, I will confess to you that it is a lot easier to preach than it is to live. As I said on Monday's staff meeting with our staff gathered together around lunchtime or so, 1 o'clock is when we typically do it, I shared this devotion with them. And I was very happy with it. Sometimes when you share something, you teach something, you feel really good about how it comes out. Sometimes you don't feel so good. This time I felt really great. I was like, gosh, that one connected. It made sense. It worked. And my eternal was strong. And then I went to visit a friend in the hospital. And I stopped and I visited with her later on that evening. And then on the way out of the hospital, I wasn't paying attention. And the ordinary collided with my eternal. That post that was there in the garage. When I called my insurance agent to explain to her why there's this huge dent in the side of my truck, she said to me, she said, well, can you, would you describe the accident for me? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I was leaving the hospital parking lot, the garage parking lot, and there was this big metal post full of concrete, and it was right over there on the side. I never saw it. I turned really, really, really sharp. And I think I didn't see it because the lights were on full bright and it was painted that startling yellow, you know, so that it was so hard to see. So she paused for a moment and then she started laughing. And she says, well, were there any witnesses to the accident? And I said, I hope not. I hope nobody saw me at that thing. And she said, did you call the police? I'm like, no, ma'am. I didn't call the police. They were just going to arrest me for driving stupid. I was doing so good, you know. But then all of a sudden, the ordinary crushes in on the eternal. It happens to us all, doesn't it? Here's my prayer for you this Christmas. That in the middle of the ordinary, you will find the eternal. You will remember you have God's favor. That's what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. You can have peace. Peace with Him, with your heart totally connected with His, through putting your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what He did on the cross through His resurrection. And you can have His peace within, knowing and trusting that despite the craziness of the ordinary, it'll be okay. God's eternal will shine. His purpose will be fulfilled, And it might not be okay today. But if you'll trust Him, walk with Him, it will be okay when He's finished. I want you to listen as Brooke comes to share a beautiful, beautiful song with us. And then we're going to close by lighting our candle together and singing.